The History Man with Terry Kringle.
Hello. In July 2001, Alan Bell, then Minister for Tourism, took through Tynwald legislation which abolished licensing hours in the Isle of Man. We were, in fact, the first jurisdiction in the British Isles to do this. It was carefully thought-out social reform. The idea was, says retired Police Inspector Ken Neal, whose responsibilities included administration of the island's licensing laws, to combat the prevailing alcohol-fueled disorder and violence in society by way of a revised relationship and trust between the police and the licensed trade. And it worked. It all came down to the exercise of common sense. But before this enlightened time, if we wanted a late drink or a Sunday drink, we had to do it illegally, with the connivance of the licensed trade, and it was a lively time for all concerned, including the police, who had to take action against it. This is well remembered by my old friend, retired Detective Chief Inspector Dudley Butt, and retired MLC with 2 4-year terms on his record. He joined up as a young PC in the early 1960s, and remembers the time then when there was no Sunday opening in the island, and he took part in a raid on a pub on the North Quay in Douglas which the police knew was allowing drinking behind closed doors. First, there were police spotters with telescopes on the other side of the harbour on Douglas Head, who kept account of the customers going in and out that Sunday lunchtime. When there was a good attendance, a team of officers waiting in a van parked nearby in Lake Road rushed in and arrested all those present and booked them. They included old men and working men having a harmless tipple before their Sunday dinner at home, but it was against the law. Right, this was daytime drinking on a Sunday. There did come a time when Sunday opening in the island was allowed in the summer for the benefit of holidaymakers who were used to it at home elsewhere in the British Isles. But it was a long time before Sunday opening in the winter was legalised, and a joyful day it was. It actually made newspaper headlines throughout the rest of the British Isles. After-hours drinking was a commonplace across the water. It was done at lock-ins, the landlord locking his front door when time was called, and he allowed people to stay there for a few more snifters. This also happened, says Dudley, in the Isle of Man, where such occasions were known as stay-behinds. They were pretty harmless, and what he calls all the joy and art of the stay-behind is now lost to us, with no longer any licensing hours at all. They were pretty common practice, and perhaps tolerated by the police, with an occasional foray against them. This was a way of letting the pubs know they couldn't get away with it all the time. The drinking wouldn't go on for a long time after hours anyway, for no more than an hour or so. People wanted to get home to bed. Dudley also remembers how in the summer boarding houses and private hotels in Douglas had licenses which allowed their guests to drink after normal time, and occasionally they let in people who were not guests. There were taxi drivers who knew where they could take people for this, people who were still out and about. In the early 1960s, the practice was for the Manx police to bring over undercover officers from Liverpool, who would not be known to local licensees, to indulge in this illegal drinking themselves as hotel guests in order to get a conviction. Meanwhile, in the winter, the Manx pubs closed at 10 p.m, and many people liked an extra hour, and there were registered clubs which enjoyed this facility. There was the Musicians Club, the Ellen Vannin Club, the Automobile Club, the St. Columba Club, the RAF Club, and the Royal Navy Club. You could persuade these establishments to let you become a member, even if you were not a musician or hadn't been in the RAF. But for them, or some of them, the abolition of licensing hours came as something of a death blow financially. The law, or lack of it, can work in mysterious ways.